listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, it's time to go through some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We hear from our listeners all the time via both of those avenues, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, which is open 24/7 for any comment, question, show, suggestion, criticism you'd like us to hear, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, the Issues Etc. comment line. And as we have time, we like to respond to both our email and to your comments on the comment line.
Craig was just telling me during the break that during our Houston conference, somebody said, I don't know why Jeff's so hard on his reading skills. He does a fine job. And I said, well, I can tell you one thing for sure about that listener. He's not a live listener. He's a podcast listener. Lord Feichninger will spend an extra hour editing listener email when one Jeff Schwarz is reading it.
Right. The difference between what you hear live on the broadcast when Jeff is reading, and a lot of times when Wilkin is talking as well, and what you hear that's been cleaned up post-production is sometimes pretty remarkable. But nonetheless, you've got a reading stand in there to aid you in your... Are you trying a new method here, Jeff?
I am trying something. We have this, is it a choir sheet music stand or something? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's just a music stand.
I think we purchased this when we recorded, a year ago, some audiobooks for Concordia Publishing House, correct? And it's just sitting in the main studio corner. And I thought to myself, I need a crutch. I need all the help I can utilize to do a better job of reading email. So today I shall try to use the choir sheet music stand for the longer emails.
Okay. Well, we'll see if it improves things. Every little bit helps.
Can you fill why I turn my mic off? So I need to turn the other way to face the choir music stand.
This is already a technical issue that we're encountering here.
So you go ahead and fill and I shall turn.
Our email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Feel free to use either of those when you listen to the broadcast, especially our beloved on-demand listeners, which is the vast majority of you. When you listen and you have a question, you want to add something to the conversation, if you'd like to make a show suggestion, we get a lot of great suggestions from our listeners, or if you have a criticism of any kind of nature, we're happy to hear all of those, or just your random thoughts that have been stirred up by something you've heard here on Issues Etc.
I'm ready.
All right.
This comes from Ola. Ola writes, I listened to the program on the sexual revolution's reign of terror with Dr. Stephen Baskerville, and I must confess I was disappointed by the way the topic was covered. I am a Bible-believing, confessional, Reformed Christian, and usually I find the commentary provided by your guests helpful, stimulating, timely, and challenging, but this speaker sounded defensive, insensitive, and like an apologist for bullies, brutes, and rapists. I find that he committed the same offense of which he justly accused the ideological left. He complained that child abuse and domestic abuse were nebulous, undefined terms for which honest family men were being thrown in prison. I confess that I am from the UK, and domestic abuse and child abuse are defined. I know at close hand that women have stayed in marriages where their husbands punched them and slapped them to punish them for all manner of offenses, such as having the temerity to be clinically depressed. I have worked with women who came to work with barely concealed bruises, whose children wet the bed because of their fear of the fathers. Very few of these men were prosecuted. Child abuse includes physical and psychological neglect. It includes rape and sexual molestation of children. Whilst we may hate the message of contemporary feminism, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Women and children have been abused for decades with little power to escape. We know this still goes on because of the numbers of women and children who are murdered by their husbands or fathers. Agreed, the sexual revolution has heightened the risks by producing illegitimate offspring and many more blended families. Whilst fornication is a symptom of cohabitation, women who are battered by male partners are not victims of fornication. Child rape and wife battery is not fornication for the victims. The way your guest discussed the issue suggested that these were all part of the same morality failure. I don't agree with the liberalization of divorce laws, but I promise you that many women and children suffered in shame and silence when they had no one to tell, nowhere to flee, and no one in the criminal justice system was interested. The police would not get involved with a domestic. People campaigned for a change. Why wasn't the church at the forefront? Husbands, love your wives. Shame on us. What are the churches doing now to protect the women and children in their midst who may be effective? Or are we too busy protecting our reputations by keeping quiet and downplaying women's and children's suffering? The sexual revolution may have introduced the damaging idea that sexual congress is only predicated upon consent. However, a woman being subjected to a man. Please, can I ask you address this? Thanks for listening in the UK. Hola.
Well, I think what our guest, Dr. Baskerville, was attempting to do was say, look, and we were doing in the context of, I believe, the Harvey Weinstein revelations. He was trying to offer a kind of a alternate voice here, not to say that these things are ever excusable, but to say we better, sounds like in your context, dear listener, things like abuse are clearly defined. I can tell you that in the family courts in the United States, it isn't. Abuse is a big banner under which a lot of things can fly. Some of it, as you've described, legitimate criminal abuse, and some of it just the word abuse. He focused a little more, if I recall, on the issue of sexual harassment. And he said, we'd better define this as to what it is rather than simply use it as a catch-all phrase to describe any situation in which anyone happens to interpret any action as sexual harassment. We have to have definitions of these things. And I think the larger point he was making about the sexual revolution is that these are the consequences of the sexual revolution. The sexualizing of every interaction between men and women, turning all sex and all relationships into political statements. So I would encourage you to go back and listen again. He may have had a kind of a harsh way of saying it, but I encourage you to go back and listen again. He does recognize the legitimate and criminal incidences of both sexual harassment and abuse. We'll be right back.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Wednesday afternoon, we are going through your email to us and your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line. We just coming off a email from someone asking about an interview that we had with Dr. Baskerville on the issue of, well, kind of a lack of definition there. One more thing to say about that, and we'll go on to another email. I think we need to be very careful that especially when we're dealing with issues like sexual harassment, and even more so sexual abuse, that we do have absolutely clear definitions. Not only clear definitions of them, say, personally, but also legally. We have to have these clear definitions. Otherwise, again, another product of the sexual revolution, everything is sexualized. Otherwise, there's no firm basis to stand. We end up with, I'll just give you kind of a simple scenario. He looked at me. Now, is it a look? Is it a leer? Is it an ogle? Is it harassment? Is it abuse? You see how a simple interchange that doesn't even involve hands or body or words can be misinterpreted or maybe rightly interpreted, but you better have a definition for it.
Yeah, real life example?
Yeah.
Well, you've heard this story, but I was honored to serve on the Commission on Theology and Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod from, 2010 to 2016? Is that right?
Yeah, longest 6 years of my life. Go ahead.
Yes. So, but we were drafted to help produce our Book of the Month last month, Luther's Small Catechism 2017 with Explanation. And after the original draft was sent out for field testing in the Eighth Commandment, which you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, the explanation was thrown in there, bullying, a term that if you're going to use, darn well better be defined. Because bullying, by the world's definition, means don't tell me I'm wrong.
Someone disagreed with me.
Somebody disagreed with me. And you're bullying me.
Or someone has an opinion that's different from mine and is has as strong a conviction in their opinion as I do.
Exactly.
And that equals bullying. Yes.
Exactly. So I people will tell you in the committee, I was fighting hard that either we take this word out or we define it properly.
What happened?
I think it got taken out. I haven't looked at it. I think it was taken out. But that's an example of where best case scenario, they're just shunning you into silence by playing the bullying card. You say I'm wrong. You say what I did was sinful. I tell the principal, you're bullying me. You know what bullying means? Being expelled from school in most public schools. So that's a good example of, if you're going to have terms like sexual harassment, you better define them.
When I was a kid, and this was a long time ago, I think bullying, it had kind of a more practical definition. It meant something physical, or at least a threat of something physical. Because the average recess, if bullying were defined as kids arguing with each other and disagreeing with each other, every kid would have been expelled by today's standards. We all would have, because you wouldn't get into a fight, although fights did occasionally break out. There were all kinds of disagreements and differences of opinion there. So I think that only illustrates the fact that you better define these things in concrete terms. That's not to say to define them away. And that's my concern about the listener. I'm not saying define them away. I just say, let's have a definition. She obviously has a definition of these things, one that I happen to agree with. So let's define all of it as clearly.
Should I read email number two using the choir sheet music stand?
Well, okay, just let me say this. You sound a little low to me. I don't know if you're off mic or if your mic is low, but I was going to say something.
I'm probably a little bit off mic, but one Lord Feitinger is in charge of that. So thumbs up?
Thumbs up.
All right.
You do look a little like Billy Joel at the piano trying to perform. You know, he's facing sideways to the audience, facing his piano, but he spends most of the time with his head turned toward the audience. It's kind of an Elton John, Billy Joel thing you got going there. Barry Manilow. Any guy that plays a piano.
Can you give me somebody better to work with? Barry Manilow, Billy Joel, Elton John. Do I look like, from a profile, do I look effeminate?
No, I'm not saying.
Is that what you're saying, Wilkin?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you look like you're sitting
at a piano. What about this side? What if I turn my left side?
You look like you're sitting at a piano, and when you turn to talk to me, then it's like I'm watching Billy Joel in concert.
If I show you my left side, does it look more masculine?
No, you're fine. You're fine. Okay. Just drop
all right. All right. Here's some feedback from our latest conference. I thoroughly enjoyed my first Making the Case conference a few weekends ago in Houston. Although I don't get to tune in live to your daily broadcast, most people don't. Don't apologize for that. We love our on-demand listeners. Because of my work schedule, I do enjoy catching up on the current news as I complete my household chores on Saturdays. Thank you for all the planning and orchestration of details that go into making these conferences such a success. The worship services and opportunities for fellowship over meals were a great complement to the deep and insightful learning from each of the speakers. As I reflected on the weekend with some fellow attendees, we noted the particular joy of Pastor Wolfmiller's talk, not only because he is an engaging presenter, but also because it was filled with the hope of the gospel. It was the perfect division of law and gospel, whereas many of the other speakers focus on the law and what we should be doing or not doing as confessional Lutheran Christians living in today's secular American culture. While I realize that a main tenet of these conferences is to help Christians live out their faith, and I certainly appreciate the keen insights of all of the presenters shared, it was difficult to listen to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse's talk after hearing the sweetness of the gospel preached and then being brought very low again by her stark realities of human sinfulness. I found her topic an engaging one that needs to be discussed and digested further. I'm wondering if it might make more sense to order the presentations so that conference attendees get to hear the reality of our sinful human condition, especially as it relates to secular American culture, along with our response as faithful Christians. And then the final presentation to be more gospel-centric to offer the hearers the sweet reminder that Christ is in control of all things. Of course, this doesn't mean we sit back and simply do nothing, but what I found so refreshing about Pastor Wolfmiller's talk is that he reminded us that Christ died and rose victorious, defeating all these sins that plague our culture, and that we can act accordingly because Christ has already redeemed those things that we do, say, and think contrary to his word. It would be a nice parallel to the divine service and other worship services to have future presentations ordered in the same way so that people don't end with so much despair. Thank you again for a great conference.
Okay, well, a couple things. A couple are simply logistical. Because it is a conference, how we schedule the speakers is not entirely within our control. We do the very best that we can. What we're trying to do is accommodate the speaker's schedules. We're also trying to make sure that we don't put, say, like topics right next to each other. We're considering what the speaker's like and what time of the day it is. For instance, if we know that we have a speaker who is lower energy, we're not going to put them right after lunch because no matter how good they may be, people might fall asleep. So we've learned a few things in terms of doing these conferences over the last 5 years, and that has a lot to do with how we schedule them. And then there's just trying to get the speakers in and out of town in a timely fashion. They don't often come and stay for the entire conference. They come in, they speak, and then they have to go and be about their business. So all of that scheduling is done beforehand, and actually it gets juggled a little bit sometimes. So if that's the reason the thing is scheduled the way it is, I would say this also. It is a conference, so that what you might expect, say, from your example, the divine service, it's not necessarily realistic to expect that of a conference. I do understand your general concern that we don't end on a downer, so to speak, although we need to say that if we are legitimately addressing those things in terms of God's law is God's word, too. That's a good little slogan you could learn. I'm not big on slogans, bumper sticker theology, but it's a good one to kind of carry around with you. God's law is God's word too. I'm not saying that you're saying it isn't, but so we're dealing there with a different animal than the divine service or a sermon, so to speak. And speaking of the divine service, if you stuck around to the very end of the conference, do you know how we ended it? It wasn't on a speaker's presentation or a round table of speakers. or even with dinner. We ended it with the divine service. So that for those who attend the conference all the way to the end, including the divine service, they leave having clearly heard God's word of both law and gospel, being comforted by the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. It's precisely why we end the conference with the divine service.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
And I wouldn't say that the presentations from the so-called left-hand kingdom cultural issues were despairing. I thought they gave us actually good strategies on how we Christians live in a secular progressive culture.
Right. So in that sense, in kind of a civil sense, they don't end with despair. They say, in fact, I think if you talk about who addressed those, we had
Rod Dreher.
Rod Dreher addressed it. Rod Dreher had tangible ideas. You know, Jeff is a big one on solutions. If you're going to criticize something, what's your solution? What's your alternative? If you're going to diagnose a problem, do you offer a solution? Do you offer a remedy for it? And Rod Dreher was excellent at offering remedies. You might not agree with the remedies, with his diagnosis or the remedies, but you can't criticize him for not offering remedies. We had the same with Mark Hemingway on religious liberty. We had the same with Molly Hemingway on engaging the news media, and the same with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on the issue of the sexual revolution. So all of them, it's the reason we pick them as presenters. It's because they have a proven track record on the program of not only being able to address these issues in terms of diagnosis, but also offer a remedy.
And we do try to kind of do left-hand, right-hand kingdom, proportionately at the conferences, but we're dealing with people's schedules. So we tried to get Jennifer Roback Morse here in Collinsville, and Dreher in Houston, or vice versa. It just didn't work out like that.
Yeah. Because of their schedules. And I would say this, and I don't think this is more generally, not to the emailer's concern. The gospel isn't the solution for every problem. The gospel is a solution to a very particular problem. Our alienation, hostility before God, who is rightly wrathful toward us in our sin. The gospel solves that problem. My daughter's having a hard time getting her youngest child to sleep through the night. Guess what? The gospel is not the answer to that problem. Letting the kid cry a little bit, that's the answer to that problem. And in the same sense, when we deal with issues in society and culture, does society and culture need to hear the gospel? Yes, absolutely. But the gospel isn't the answer to every problem. It's the answer to our problem with God. Does it lead to all kinds of other answers? Does it reconcile us not only to God, but to one another? Of course it does. But in that realm where God rules by force and reason, sometimes what he has to say by way of solution is in the nature of the law and not the gospel. When we come back, your email and some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. Don't you assume they're gonna buy just anything? Cause when we're out in the clubs listening to music, you're in the wrong sex of an email. Dress on your email.
$5 million, yeah. At the heart of repentance is indeed a change of direction.
Pastor Peter Bender speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
But the change of direction begins at the fundamental level of the human person, the heart itself, which the scriptures describe as the seat of faith. We are conceived and born in sin since Adam's fall, and therefore we are bent against God. We have no natural love for God. We have no natural trust for God. And the one we trust in is ourselves.
You can listen to Pastor Bender's presentation, Making the Case for Lutheran Piety, and all of the speakers at our 2017 conferences on an audio DVD. It contains almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching. We'll send it to you for a $300 year-end tax-deductible donation. Look for the DVD logo at IssuesETC.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Wednesday afternoon.
How dated is our bump music for email and comment line?
Yeah, it's really dated.
Blondie.
We've been using...
REO Speedwagon. Mm-hmm. Lionel. Richie.
Well, you know how long we've been using all of those bumps,
About
Jeff?
10 years.
More than 10 years.
Well, that's right.
We were using them back in the previous incarnation
There's
of this show.
There's a few new ones, but
we're
not
going
many.
On, probably going on 15 years with those particular bumps. Well, although they do kind of, at some point, they attach themselves to the segment. You know, like when we do Soundbite of the Week, they kind of become identifying marks a little bit. You don't necessarily change them. But yeah, we could probably use Rebecca Curtis's advice.
Any good hip bump music does not come from the studios here.
Yeah, and I agree. Although a lot of what Rebecca provides for us isn't necessarily hip or even... current. Yeah, let's not make the goal of this to be hip. Issues Etc. passed hip a long time ago. I used to tell my kids, my daughter when she was in high school, I used to say, there was a very brief moment of time in my younger life when I achieved cool.
Right? I don't believe it.
I was cool. No,
I'm sorry,
it was very
I don't
brief.
Believe it.
It was very brief.
I need evidence.
It was very brief. I was actually, for one very brief moment, I reached cool. And then I said... I began the long, long descent from cool. And I used to tell her when she was in high school, I've come full circle background to being so uncool that I am now cool. So not hip that I am now hip again. But we left hip. Hip is a terrible taskmaster.
I don't think they probably use the word hip anymore, do they?
Probably not. Just proves my point.
Well, if people do have some...
Look... Let's just Issues Etc. is for adults. Okay? It's for adults. I think younger people can enjoy it, learn something, but it's for adults.
Well, if anybody has any bump music suggestions, please send them to talkback@issuesetc.org. We will consider them. And on the subject of listener ideas, how about some Christmas ideas, folks? We've done all the good Christmas hymns. We've done the gospel accounts. I think this year we're going to try to do C.F.W. Walther on Christmas. We've done Chemnitz on Christmas. We've done Gerhard on Christmas. We've done Luther on Christmas. We've done Athanasius on Christmas. We have talked about the angels. We've had Paul Meyer talk about the first Christmas.
We've done every gospel account.
So can you please give us some ideas?
Nativity according to anybody you can possibly think
That's
of.
Right.
The Nativity according to almost any book of the Bible.
Every book of the Bible has a vague reference to it.
Believe me, I get to review all these when we post our...
Encores.
Our encores that are now stretching into probably... I think this year it's probably going to top 60 hours of encores that we might post over the course of the Christmas season. So I get to see them all over again. Well, that's what happens when you do a show for 20 years. Maybe we just go to an all encore format. I wouldn't have to show up anymore.
Retire the, so please give us some ideas. But we just got an email back from Dr. Jeff Gibbs, Concordia Seminary. We're going to do a special Christmas show on apparent contradictions on the genealogies of Christ and on the flight into Egypt from the different gospel accounts. So that's a new one. So any new Christmas idea, please send them to talkback@issuesetc.org. And whenever I think
you're not going to go on left, Facebook and like, I'm out of ideas.
No,
don't do that.
No, I won't do that. I promise. You brought up the subject of encore, and this is Iggy in Chicago. He talks about our last listener email segment. He said a listener requested the dates be attached to our encore podcast. The benefit of this is oftentimes we hear later in the show, Pastor Whedon will be discussing the liturgy, and a search for Whedon liturgy on the website yields over 200 links. That's probably right. I don't think he's exaggerating there. If we have the original air date, we can use the drop-down tab and hone in on November 2015 and find the next segment quickly.
Okay, so there's an argument for at least once in every per guest giving the actual real broadcast date. That's an argument for in just once in every per guest giving it. And when we talked about this before, I said I was inclined away from giving the dates because they're largely irrelevant. Most of our listeners are on-demand listeners anyway. But this is a good argument for, look, we do 10 hours at least of live radio every single week, and we've done it for 20 plus years running. So that's a lot of stuff to dig through. I think we'll have to talk about that one.
Now, if they listen closely to whatever the encore is, most likely they will get the date. At some point of that, usually give the date in that. I can't think of 1 hour where you have
usually,
not given the date.
Usually in the open. Usually in the open, and then sometime in the second hour I'll toss the date into.
That's something to contemplate. Iggy also writes.
But I don't give the year. So
that's true.
That will
that's
only
true.
Narrow it down. And like I said, 20 years.
So you could put November 15, Whedon.
Sure.
Liturgy.
And yeah, you're right. There
hopefully
you go.
Something will pop up.
Iggy, probably not 200 links.
Iggy also wants to respond to when we talked about organ music 2 weeks ago when we did listener email and comment line. He said a general rule is that a longer introduction is appropriate for the hymn of the day, where we want to highlight its connection to the readings and the sermon. It's also where you might get a hymn alternation with the choir, organist, or soloist picking up some of the verses. That said, I've heard 3-minute introductions to hymns that are only 2 minutes long, so some discretion is necessary on the part of the organist. As for the organist drowning out the congregation and or choir, we do try to tailor the registration on the organ so as not to overpower. You have an ear to the organ and an ear to the singers, and try to complement what is going on. You can have someone do a sound check during rehearsal, but we do miss the boat occasionally during the divine service or concert. Factor in accompanying brass, and the balance gets even more complicated. Hopefully, with recorded music that is produced for CD or MP3 distribution, some of this can be ironed out by the sound engineer. Live recordings from, say, the Divine Service can be trickier. Admittedly, we are prone to getting carried away with the organ registration on major feast days. Bear with us on these special days. Sometimes we can't help ourselves. An honest church musician. Yeah, thank you, Iggy
that's,
in Chicago.
That's very nice to hear an honest church musician. Instead of saying, well, you have to sit and listen to my entire prelude that will stretch into 4.5 minutes, you know, sit quietly with your hands folded, just say, sometimes we get carried away with ourselves, just like preachers sometimes get carried away with themselves. Thank you very much. Very, very helpful.
Hello, Pastor Wilkin. I just finished listening to Pastor Ketchelmeyer's episode on Noah, and I wanted to express my gratitude for the content and the subject of bringing to light the continuity of the Old Testament to the New Testament through discussion of Noah and baptism. As a former evangelical, I did want to ask a question as well as kind of give maybe a recommendation. I don't know if I'm in error in this or not, as to the connection where Pastor Ketchelmeyer was speaking on what, or that baptism is a picture of the continuation of the covenant that comes through the flood. I, again, just as a former evangelical, was always taught everything was picturing or imagery based in what the content or efficacy of the sacraments actually are, but it was just always left as ideological. And I found it extremely helpful that when someone had pointed out to me that Paul actually points to a historical event, the flood, that was an actual thing that happened. And that really brought much clarity as I started to come to believe and understand the confessions as they present the doctrine in Scripture regarding baptism, that was very helpful in clearing up any loss of the substance and effect that comes through the sacrament of baptism. So I hope this helps, sir. I hope that maybe you can make a comment on that. And I, again, appreciated the episode because it was very much a blessing to hear the fullness of what's found there. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for your kind words. I'm sure that Pastor Ketchelmeyer will be happy to hear them as well. The Old Testament is there in order to testify of Christ. Jesus makes this quite clear, that Christ and how he comes to us in the means of grace are all set up. They are all anticipated. They are, we usually think of, foretold, promised, prefigured, revealed in the Old Testament. It's all there. Even baptism is there. It's not there in its instituted form, but it's there in type and shadow. And how easily the Apostle Peter is able to talk about the flood and then immediately talk about baptism. How easily St. Paul is able to talk about the Exodus and then immediately talk about baptism, because they simply understand there what you have come to realize. You know, if you think about it, the devil's strategy, he wants to rob people of Christ. Ultimately, he wants to rob you of faith. So there are a number of ways he can do this. He can crassly undermine God's word so that you don't believe what it says, you doubt what it says, even among Christians, to the extent that they are imperiling their faith by just kind of freely doubting things that they think they have the liberty to doubt when God has spoken. That's the initial one, right? Did God really say? But the devil has more subtle ways of robbing you of faith. Rather than simply doubting God's word in whole or in part, he can introduce ideas into people's minds who are reading their Bibles, like you mentioned your time in evangelicalism, that are false. These ideas such as, well, if this was just a type and a shadow, say in the Old Testament, then maybe baptism is just a type and a shadow too. When the New Testament clearly testifies, and I just mentioned Peter and Paul, testifies that what was foretold and revealed and anticipated in the Old Testament is finally fulfilled in Jesus Christ and those means of grace that he instituted. And the subtle work there that the devil does is to say, you know, you don't have to take baptism to be what Christ clearly says it is and what Paul and Peter clearly say it is. Now, it might take a long time for the devil's strategy to finally work. But if he can cause you to doubt the forgiveness of sins because he's robbed you of the comfort and the certainty of baptism by reducing it to a mere outward form of something else, symbol of something else, well, that strategy just might work. He might introduce just enough uncertainty of whether or not you're really forgiven, whether what Christ accomplished at the cross has really been delivered to you to rob you of your faith. So his strategy can be more subtle. It's not always just a bald-faced, did God really say? Sometimes it's, you know, we got to read these passages in a different way than they seem to clearly say. It happens with baptism. It happens with the Lord's Supper. How often in evangelicalism, behind the, well, the text says this, and we like to read things literally, but we can't take this literally, like the words of institution or Christ's institution of baptism. How often behind those kinds of strategies in reading the Bible is simply the devil just quietly whispering, did God really say? The devil doesn't have to convince you that Jesus didn't die and rise again to rob you of faith. He has all kinds of ways that he can rob you of faith. And sometimes he's patient, takes his time, taking just one little bit of God's word away, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, until finally, doubt reigns over faith. Unbelief finally takes hold. And we've watched it happen with Christians in denominations that have abandoned first a verse, then a chapter, then a whole book, then a whole teaching and a whole doctrine. And eventually, they are just vast cathedrals to doubt. We'll be right back. Down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
This holiday shopping season, skip the Fruit of the Month Club. Don't fall for any ridiculous as-seen-on-TV offers. Just say no to ugly sweaters. Instead, give your family and friends the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to their mailboxes. Give them the Lutheran Witness magazine. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase subscriptions for Christmas or anytime. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Thousands of years have gone by since Adam and Eve's first sin when God gave them a promise of a Savior who would win. Words from the Baby King, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas archbook. The Baby King would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Baby King. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, we are looking at listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The listener email part is we're testing something today, but I noticed Jeff has abandoned his test equipment.
Well,
he had a stand set up, and now the stand is gone, and he's turned back toward me like. Like last night, my wife and I watched a PBS concert of the Bee Gees. So now he's Barry Gibb's stance straight at the audience.
Well, I'm a little insecure, quite frankly. After you told me my right profile, you haven't rated my left profile.
It was Billy Joel, your
Elton John, and who was the other one, Craig?
Barry Manilow,
please.
Or the guy we just heard, Todd Rundgren. He's another piano player.
You got Liberace. Is there a piano player that?
Yeah,
I know, but is there like a really masculine piano player? There has to be somebody. Please,
Harry Connick Jr. is a man's man. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, there you go. So, but I did it for the longer emails. The first two were a space and a half, almost two pages. So I put those on the choir music sheet stand. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, it's a stand.
It's a stand. So I'm back facing you on these. Have you noticed any kind of difference?
Yeah, you sound like you're on your mic now. So
I sound better. Well, that's good. Do you guys have a Christmas, like children's Christmas program at Trinity Lutheran Millstadt, Illinois?
I believe we do. We get the kids up, and I think they do a little Christmas program. They have a reading of Luke's gospel that the kids do, and they assemble a nativity scene, a living nativity scene.
We do at St. Paul Lutheran in Hamel, and they usually have some bags for the kids with all kinds of little candy and peanuts and apples and things like that.
Are they going to have the Issues Etc. book of the month that bag for the kids?
It's amazing you ask that. It's as if we talked about it during the break. We're going to talk about how this would be a great addition for your, you know, children ages 5 through 9 to buy them in bulk the Issues Etc. book of the month, The Baby King. It's only $2.99 a piece, right?
But you can, but these are those arch books that are meant for kids 5 through 9, and The Baby King is that if you buy it individually, but if you bought it in bulk for, say, all the Sunday school kids who are at your Christmas program. What's the price? 15%
off. So 10 to 24, quantity of 10 to 24, you get 15% off, $2.99. 25 to 49, you get 20% off. 50 to 99, 25% off. So that's quite a deal for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, the latest in the historic classic arch book series for children called The Baby King. It's a Christmas story. At our website, issuesetc.org. You can also call Concordia Publishing House. Don't order just one for $2.99. Order them in bulk and just give them freely to the children in your congregation. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
That plug did not sound contrived at all.
Not on my end.
I blew it. Sorry about that. All right. This comes from Joan. A lot of email in the last couple of months. Agree with Joan, or have expressed Joan's concerns. She says, good morning. I just downloaded the LPR, the Lutheran Public Radio, our 24/7 sacred music station app on Samsung Galaxy 5 Android phone. I also create an account. When I try to play sacred music, I get an error message. Any thoughts on why I am getting an error message? Thanks for your assistance, and thank you for trying to listen, Joan.
We have been thinking a lot about it in the last couple of weeks because we've been hearing from a lot of listeners who at first were telling us that the music was falling out. We had, Jeff was in here, how many times did you end up coming in here to restart machines?
Craig did too. Craig lives a little closer to me, so if I couldn't make it, I was out of town, I'd call Lord Feichtinger.
We finally determined that the problem was the antiquated machine that we bought 10 or 15 years ago to run these things, and it was time to upgrade the machine. Now, that requires that Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, that live streaming of Advent music in this case, and 24/7, year-round, absolutely free, be suspended for as much time as it takes us. We've got the machine. It's installed probably by tomorrow. we'll have Sacred Music for the World back up and running with your Advent. Is it going to be yet a combo of Advent slash some little
yet
bit
to be
Christmas
determined.
Music?
Scott Gerken, LPR music director, is working on it. A combination of Advent and some Christmas music. So hopefully we can pull it off. I'm not making any guarantees. First of all, we just want to get the new machine up and running. That
right.
would be a good start.
Then, so it will be back. We do apologize for the interruption. I know that many people come to depend on this for their commute or for their time doing the dishes or making dinner to listen to this fantastic sacred music we're able to broadcast absolutely free to our listeners 24/7 year-round following the course of the church year. And this is not a great time to have it interrupted just as we're beginning the Advent season. But within about 24 hours, you can expect it to return. And we'll inform everybody. We'll put up appropriate social media posts that we have been able to get it back up and running.
Thanks for your patience. And if anyone would like to earmark a donation for the new LPR streaming machine, it was about $1,500. Contact Lynn Fredrickson here at 618-223-8385. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
David writes, how can extremely intelligent and educated people like Rod Rosenblatt, R.C. Sproul, and John MacArthur have three very different views on baptism? How are lay people like myself able to know which interpretation is correct? Thanks again, writes David.
It can be confusing, can't it? It can be very confusing. Bible teachers that you trust, sometimes you find them differing with one another. Now, you've mentioned three there, and I can't speak directly to R.C. Sproul or the other one, but I can speak to the issue of Rod Rosenblatt, because he and I share the same confession of faith on the issue of baptism. So I can tell you exactly why there are differing opinions. There are differing opinions because there are different ways of reading the Bible. There are not three different equally valid ways of reading the Bible. And it's not even that someone like R.C. Sproul has an entirely consistent different way of reading the Bible. It just comes to certain topics like, say, baptism or the Lord's Supper. He may be thoroughly consistent in a solid reading of the text, taking the words seriously, taking them first in their literal sense, and then if there is some requirement in the text to say, okay, maybe we can't take these literally, maybe we need to understand them in some other way, then to go to that, but to plain and simple reading of the text in every other sections of the Bible. But when it comes to something like baptism of the Lord's Supper, certain presuppositions have been introduced in the theology that's at work here that say, well, we can't take these words to mean what they plainly say. I mean, we can't, I know they say this, like, this is my body, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. I know it says that, but it can't mean that. That's a presupposition that is foreign to the text. There's no reason in the text to read it that way. Now, a guy like Sproul would say, well, yes, there is, but his reason wouldn't be in the text. It would be in his reason. Jesus is stating something that is categorically impossible. Jesus, who turned water into wine, who created the earth, who walked on water, who raised the dead, who rose himself from the dead, apparently cannot say of wine, this is my blood, and have it be so. You see, the presupposition that's at work there. In no other respect would a guy like Sproul doubt a miracle in the Bible or Christ's words. When it comes to something like this, a presupposition, as I mentioned earlier, introduced sadly by the devil into a whole theology, says can't be what it says it is. That's why there's the difference. I often say one of the things I like most about being a Lutheran is that I don't have to ignore, explain away, or deny a single syllable of Scripture. Why is a guy like Rod Rosenblatt able to take a position on baptism that is at odds in a lot of ways with other Bible teachers? Because he's reading those words for what they actually say, and he's not denying what they say through his presuppositions or in any other way. He looks at it and says, baptism now saves you. That's what it says. That's what it means. That salvation is delivered through the water of baptism. That baptism is a washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. If that's what it says, then that's what it means. If baptism is being crucified and buried with Christ and raised again, that's what it means. If baptism is being clothed with Christ, that's what it means. Now, if for a moment a teacher like Rod Rosenblatt would let his reason intervene between him and the text, well, that would not be a good thing, would it? So the reason that the Lutheran comes to the conclusion he does is because he is taking seriously, he's not attempting to explain away, to ignore, or to deny a single syllable of what the Bible says, especially with regard to those things like baptism and the Lord's Supper. When we come back, we've got a few more minutes of your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Money I gotta spend, got to get back to my baby again. The only days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about. The birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Well, did you get my message?
Folks, you have 25 days left to receive an audio DVD of almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching from both of the Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences in 2017. Presentations by Chris Rosebro, Peter Bender, Terry Mattingly, Todd Peppercorn, Matt Harrison, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Moore, Scott Murray, and me. We will send you a conference audio DVD for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Order at our website, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Write DVD in the memo line of your check. It's both 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences in their entirety on one audio DVD.
This comes from Bill and Debbie. My wife and I lived in the Netherlands for the past year and a half and just returned back home at the end of August. Issues Etc. was my daily companion on the drive to and from the office, listening to discussions regarding our Christian faith, Lutheran doctrine, current events, etc., no pun intended, helped me immeasurably. Also, all the podcasts on the Reformation were excellent. It's a great podcast. Keep up the good work. writes Bill and Debbie.
Thank you very much. It's nice to hear the kind words there. We're always endeavoring during those kind of those times of the year where we're emphasizing a certain theme like the Reformation to not only give you the Reformation as it really is, not some sort of distorted view of the Reformation because there's so many myths regarding the Reformation, but also to give it to you in its entirety. We want our listeners to know the history. We want them to understand the theology that was at work and down into as much detail as we can possibly deliver to you in 10 hours a week.
There's another theme that we can use some fresh blood on, Reformation ideas.
You mean like for Reformation Week or Reformation Month?
Yes, yes.
New ideas, new angles?
Yes, and this works. My good friend, former parishioner of St. Paul's Lutheran in Hamel, Doug Meyer, already sent an email about Christmas ideas. What's the relationship between Christmas and the traditional Jewish holidays? When did Christians start to celebrate the Incarnation? Why do some Christian traditions celebrate Epiphany more than Christmas? So see, our
there
listeners have the best ideas. Thanks, Doug.
Three perfectly good ideas. Thank you, listeners.
All right, we got time for one more? Yeah. Charles, he writes, I was recently contacted by an Indonesian man living in Singapore who was looking for a faithful Lutheran church where he could be fed with law and gospel. There's only an ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America type congregation in Singapore. When I sat with him and got to know him better, he shared with me that he had come out of evangelicalism and general Protestantism because he's been listening to Issues, etc. He got turned on to Chris Roseborough in Pirate Christian Radio and loved it, and then naturally made the progression to Issues, etc. He's now an avid listener and won't miss it. He's largely being catechized through Issues, etc. and other internet resources, as I don't live in Singapore and can't make it there often enough. But when I do hold a divine service there, you can bet he's there, making sure I preach a sermon in which Jesus is the subject of the verbs. He's just last week started to ask about having his young children baptized. Many thanks to you guys for your faithfulness and your hard work, which I'm sure often seems thankless and even fruitless. Please let me assure you that this is not the case. This guy is just one example of the Asian folks with whom I interact being built up in faithful theology due to your work. God bless you and keep you in his strength, joy, and peace. Thanks for the feedback, Charles.
Charles, thank you very much. But let me. That's fantastic to hear. It really is. But I'll tell you how I look at it. First of all, this job is not thankless. It never has been. It's not a thankless job. We always feel deeply appreciated by our listeners. They constantly remind us of that. So that is, it's not thankless. So don't worry about us. We have two taglines that we use here. One of them is Confessional Lutherans, we have your back. We mean it. We are backing up faithful pastors like yourself who are being faithful to God's word and to the Lutheran confessions. And people who listen to us, we're saying your pastor isn't crazy. What he's teaching you is absolutely right. They're hearing it from someone else and we've got your back. The other tagline that we use is, what is it? Providing artillery
support for the church militant on the front lines.
How many times we have said to parish pastors who are guests or who call us or someone like you out there in the foreign mission field, look, you guys are the ones on the front lines. You guys are the ones with the hard jobs. You guys are the ones, in some cases, in the foreign mission field, putting your lives on the line in order to proclaim God's word of law and gospel and bring that word and those sacraments to people who desperately need to hear it. We are just artillery support. We are behind the lines, miles off, out of the line of sight, not being fired on at all. And we're simply lobbing artillery support to those guys who are out there on the front lines doing the hard work in the trenches. That's how I look at it. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Ambrose on the Incarnation with Pastor Will Wheaton and Hollywood in Bethlehem, Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine. We'll talk about that. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.